I will run you through the crimes of Adrian Ernest Bailey. And this is an indication, and I said earlier when I was telling you he'd been convicted on the three rapes, it's an indication of a failure of the system to cope with an evil person, a recidivist, who we kept letting out effectively. And we know that Jill Maher should not have been killed because he should have been in jail. But here we go. June 7, 1991, he's jailed for 5 years, 3 years non-parole, for rape. So he gets 3 years for rape, threatening to kill, and attempted rape of three victims. Only 3 years non-parole. So June 1991, he's jailed. February 1993, less than 3 years later, February 93, he's out on parole. November 2000, rapes and assaults an 18-year-old sex worker. April 26, 2002, jailed for 11 years with a minimum 8 for 16 charges of rape against 5 victims. So he gets 11 years, minimum of 8, for 16 charges of rape. March 17, 2010, 8 years later, that's his minimum, he gets parole. February 2012, still on parole, jailed for 3 months for recklessly causing serious injury, bailed on appeal. Bailed on appeal. This is February 2012. April 2012. While on parole and bail, rapes a 25-year-old sex worker. July 14, 2012. Rapes and assaults the Dutch backpacker. He's still on parole and bail. September 22, 2012. Rapes and murders Jill Maher while on parole and bail. June 19, 2013, jailed for life, minimum 35 years for the murder of Jill Maher, an additional 15 years of rape to be served cumulatively. July 2014, jury finds him guilty of raping that 18-year-old I mentioned earlier. March 26, 2015, a jury's finding that today guilty of raping the 25-year-old and the backpacker. It is horrendous, and it's a litany of failure. It really is. Greg Davies, Victims of Crime Commissioner, who, of course, was head of the police union at the time of Jill Maher's killing. Greg Davies, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
A reaction to what I've just read?
It's an appalling systemic failure over many, many years, and hopefully, if people aren't aware of it all already, that this will finally hammer home the message that surely the protection of the community is more important than the rights of one predatory criminal offender. This is a person, quite clearly, and there are many of them, who have given up their right to walk freely amongst the rest of the community and who should go to jail and die in jail with no prospect of parole because they are predatory, recidivist criminals who prey on the community.
Where do you see the system has failed? I mean, should he have been held in jail longer? Should he have been locked up earlier? Where's the failure?
Well, the experts and the academics will say that the sentences that Bailey received were within the range that's available to a sentencing judge or magistrate. But each of those single rapes carries a maximum sentence of 25 years. That bloke could have been in jail for 450 years for his first 20 rapes. And when do we, and we, you and I had this conversation on air in relation to Bridget and Dermot O'Toole and Gavin Perry, who at 27 years of age had 200 prior convictions before he murdered Dermot O'Toole and attempted to murder Bridget O'Toole. How many chances does the system allow a person to have and to fail at in proving that they're not the horrendous Hannibal Lecter type that they've been painted as? When do we finally say enough is enough? You've just simply given up the right to walk around amongst the rest of us, and you are going to jail and you are going to die in there.
I'm just looking at this sentencing in 2002. He's sentenced to 5 years for rape in 91, does three. But in 2002, he's on 16 charges of rape, 5 victims, and he gets 8 years minimum. I mean, you'd have to look at that's his second time he's gone to jail for rape.
Yep, and he's getting 6 months per rape instead of the maximum 25 years.
Yeah.
Now, something clearly is, you know, and I wasn't present for the sentencing hearing, neither was I present for the trial, so I'm speaking about something that I'm specifically in relation to the sentencing on this occasion that I'm not expert at or completely conversant with. But the maximum sentence is 25 years. How does someone get 6 months for each of those rapes, effectively, when they have prior convictions for rape?
Hmm.
I mean, how many people, how many women's lives do we, does the system allow to be destroyed forever before we say, no, we're not prepared to take the risk with anybody else's mother, wife, daughter or sister, and we're not going to let this bloke back out to prey on people again?
The other thing is the parole system, the bail system, and we did go through a lot of this at the time of his conviction over the murder of Jill Maher. Is it right yet? Do we know whether it's fixed yet? Or better?
Well,
you can't fix it, I suppose. It's better.
Yeah, well, it is better. Is it as good as it could possibly be? Very few things in life are, I suppose. But it's really, you know, critical that the things that are so vital to the well-being of a community such as ours are made as good as they can humanly be made. And, you know, I think as with just about everything, there's room for improvement all the time. And I think it's critical, crucial, that we are eternally vigilant with all of these things and that they are improved at every given opportunity. And if that makes life a little uncomfortable for a recidivist prisoner, then all the better for it.
Am I right in this? The judge, and it's up to the judge to decide this clearly, but when he sentences him on these three rapes, he cannot take into account the rape and murder of Jill Maher because that happened after these rapes.
That's correct. That's correct, yes. And
it's a very, very difficult thing. I mean, as you say, he could sentence him to 75 years, potentially, over these three rapes. But he's supposed to, and as a judge can, make a judgment, taking out of his mind anything other than the prior convictions.
That's right. Well, that's all that the sentencing judge can look at in terms of convictions. Because these matters that were proven today occurred before Jill Maher was raped and murdered. You're quite right in your assertion that the sentencing judge can't take the Jill Maher matters into account. But the sentencing judge can take into account the previous 20 or thereabouts rapes that this person, for want of a more appropriate term, has committed. And as you've said, could effectively sentence him to 75 years. Won't, but perhaps a pretty good message would go out to the community if he was to get 60 years cumulative, not concurrent, and maybe we could take a leaf out of the Americans' book and see people, you know, effectively being jailed for, you know, 150 years type of thing.
It's one of the worst cases I've seen. What about you?
Well, you know, this person is, Bailey, is clearly, a predatory criminal offender who, given the opportunity, and you don't need to be Sigmund Freud or Albert Einstein to work it out, leopards don't change their spots. Criminal leopards don't change their spots. And those of those criminal predators who are sexual offenders, like Bailey has been proven time after time after time to be, is not going to change his spots. Put him in jail, let him die in jail, and you've done a good thing to protect the community.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Davies, Victims of Crime Commissioner. The Police Minister, Wade Noonan, will speak this afternoon. Remember, the parole laws were reviewed after Jill Maher's death. And the police have issued a statement. Victoria Police understand significant interest in the court proceedings involving Adrian Bailey, but remain respectful of court proceedings and the accused's right to appeal. The detectives involved in investigating these matters from the time of the report through to today's verdict have done an exemplary job. They've worked hard and diligently to ensure a successful prosecution and did everything possible to ensure today's outcome. We would also like to acknowledge the bravery of the women involved who have shown tremendous strength to see this case through to today's verdict. And that is a good point.